Hi, this is Dean Jacobs from Tarani Motors. We are so thrilled to be sponsoring Sand Hill Stories on KVSH Radio. We think this will be a special program inspiring to both young and old. After the program, give me a call at 402-376-1661 or come see me if you're looking for a new or used vehicle. And now, here is today's edition of Sand Hill Stories.
Welcome to Sand Hill Stories, where we dive into the rich history and untold tales of the Nebraska Sandhills, stories of resilience, hard work, and the people who have shaped this land for generations. Today, we're taking you straight to the heart of Cherry County, where ranching isn't just a way of life, it's a legacy. I'm joined by Rex Adamson, spent his life working the land. Also joining us is his wife, Evelyn, and one of his grandsons, Cade. We will talk about the challenges and triumphs of ranching in the Sandhills, the lessons passed down through the generations, and what it means to live and work in one of the last true frontiers of the American West.
Daniel Adamson was born in Ireland, and apparently from what Pop has told me and what I've read, was his dad was Scotch, his mom was Irish. They died when he was really young. He was 9 years old when they died. He was 14. He left Ireland, came over to New York, Ellis Island presumably. From there, he went to an uncle in Wisconsin, a little bit of dairy, but more than anything, a lot of logging and lumber. And then he went to Iowa, was a farm hand, and then he ended up a range hand in Wyoming doing the roundups. In the process of doing that, at some point in one of the roundups, he was roping wild horses and lost a couple fingers in the rope and had to ride 15 miles back to the ranch with the horses and then another 65 to Rawlins to a hospital. Eventually decided maybe to settle down in Cherry County, and so he homesteaded, did a tree claim, and was able to do some trading for land and buying for land and build up something for his family. He met his wife, Ada, who was Canadian, and they built what became the legacy that I'm a part of today, I guess.
Can you tell me a little bit about one of the first winters when he was a ranch hand south of Valentine?
Yeah, that there's a story that's kind of popular. He worked for a guy, Nate Chamberlain, who was one of the first outfits of using haystacks for the winter. Hollowed out a haystack and used lodge poles to prop it up, and had issues with steers climbing it and knocking it down, so they had to build another one. And then that one, they had a small stove in. I guess it was about a 7x7 hollowed out haystack, and they had a stove in. The stack collapsed on top of the stove and burned everything up. So part I read that Dan just kind of had to get by with his bedroll and what he was wearing until Nate went and got some other provisions for him to get by the rest of the winter. So they kind of just had to rough it while everything they had burned in a haystack that they'd hollowed out. But
that is mind-blowing. I mean, yeah. That story by itself, but then to add winter and a bedroll. I mean, what does that, when you talk about the wild horse roundup and losing fingers and living in a haystack, how proud does that make you of your heritage?
Yeah, it's incredibly impressive. You know, there was a lot of people that didn't make it, and I can't say I blame them. I don't know. I'd like to think I could have then too, but that's a lot of commitment and dedication to being able to continue forward and have a vision for what you want your legacy to be, I guess. And so that's exactly it. I'm proud of it, and I want to be able to remember it and have some contribution to it in the future.
Dad tells a story of 35 and 36. He had to ride about 3 miles to harness his horses. He had hay ground down by Moon Lake here, and he'd ride down there and dig his harness out of the snow and harness them horses and then go feed some cows and then ride back home. And I know that I think he froze his feet some, because back then I remember used to be an old horsehide coat hanging up down the basement, and it was the warmest coat he had back then, you know, and he didn't have any insulated overshoes or gloves. That's just one story of the hardship.
You didn't have four-wheel drive vehicles.
No. To go to town, we usually came in south of Cody, just all Sandhill Trail till you got up north the river. I know Mom would go to town by herself with Jerry and I with her to get groceries in a two-wheel drive car, and she got stuck up in there a time or two. And
I've been told that Emmett was quite the coyote hunter, and that the same car that Helen took to town to get groceries was also the coyote wagon.
That's right. Dad had to take the back seat out, and it was an old Chevy coupe. We only had one other pickup, and Dad had to take the family car and go coyote hunting in it.
Evelyn, thank you for sitting down with us. So you two have been married for 60 years. So when you were first married, was it a Sandhill Trail in and out of?
Sandhill Trail.
So how often would you go to town?
Not very often. We didn't go to town probably maybe once a month at the most.
When you lived here, it was a party line at that time when you came here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anybody could pick up the phone and listen to what the conversation.
Yes.
The party line, you kind of kept up on all the gossip that way in the community. You did. A lot of times I'd pick it up and there'd be somebody talking. I'd just sit there and listen to them.
That wasn't nice, Rex. You weren't supposed to do that.
Where did you doctor for when you were having
Gordon,
kids?
Gordon, Nebraska.
Gordon. Did you have to drive yourself? Where, did you mm-hmm. learn how to drive the Sandhill Trail? How did that go, going to the doctor back
drove
and forth?
Drove the Sandhill Trail, and you just kept going.
So you know the story I want to hear. Tell me about when Brett was born.
Rex was afraid to keep me out here because he knew that when I had Bradley, I could have him pretty quickly. I went up and stayed with my mom and dad. And that's the only time I ever stayed with folks. And Dad got me in the car that night, or about 3 a.m. And anyway, we took off and we went to Gordon. We got to, it was almost funny because I said, we'll probably have this baby at Arnott's mailbox. But Mother kept telling Daddy to slow down, but he wouldn't. He just kept driving like a madman. Sure enough, that's where Brett was born, was at that mailbox. And anyway, Daddy just kept driving fast. Mom finally said, for crying out loud, man, she says, you're going to just kill us all. You slow down because the baby's here, everything's fine, and we're still going.
So you had the baby in the moving car?
Yes.
He didn't even stop?
No. No,
and
no.
Your mom delivered
it? Mom was delivering it over the back seat. She was in the front seat with, yeah. And so, he was fine. Mother tied me off with a knot on the cord, and then she tied one off, but she never cut him.
Best part of the whole deal, I didn't have to pay the doctor for a delivery charge.
That's right, he didn't. I forgot about that.
I thought you were joking. You're serious.
No, he is.
Why would we? The baby was born.
Mother should have had the price because she was the one that delivered it.
I think back then the whole bill was maybe $300.
What'd you do for the next two babies? Did you stay in town?
No, I stayed out here.
You risked it.
Yeah. Well, I thought I could probably deliver my own.
That right there is the epitome of Sandhill tough.
It is.
This series is about looking back and understanding how hardy people were.
We were.
And right there, I just thought I could deliver my own.
Yep.
We just run to town and buy a jug of milk, but there were milk cows. Was that your job when you were a young man?
Well, it was the first thing you done in the morning and the last thing you do in the evening is milk two or three cows. And we had a separator that you separated the cream from the milk. And I grew up on skim milk, and that's the only thing I'll drink today. Mom, there was enough to get the cream. They'd accumulate it, and then Mom would make butter, homemade butter out of that cream. And the excess cream would take it. They had cream cans. I think there's still some around. But you put, of course, it had been sour cream because it wasn't refrigerated, but take it to town and put it on the train, and they had a depot, a cream depot in O'Neill, I think, where they processed this cream. And they'd wash the container out and send it back on the train. It sure helped on the grocery bill. One thing Cade missed out on, he didn't have to ride his horse to school for 2 miles.
Or tear up my teacher's note.
Well, Jerry and I, we'd ride to school every morning, else it was really bad, and then Mom would bring us in the car, but it was 2 miles to school, and Buck Buckles lived here on my place then. So I think that year there must have only been 3 of us at school, maybe 4. One morning, Buck was coming from here, and we was home, and see who got in the schoolyard the quickest, and Buck come around in the corner of the schoolyard, and the ice is icy, and his horse fell out from under him. Lucky he didn't get hurt. There's one time, recess time, the older kids, anyway, they decided they wouldn't come in for after recess, and had just a young teacher, and anyway, I guess she went out, and she caught Buck, and brought him in, and sat him down in the chair, and went back out to round up some more, and Buck followed her back out to schoolhouse, and anyway, that was the time the teacher decided she'd send a note home in everybody's lunch bucket. So, Jerry's idea or mine, but we tore our note up, and Buck didn't tear his up, so he got into more trouble than we did. There was no phone line or any communication, you know. I might add, if you want me to, the Shadbolt School up here had kids going to school in it, and it was out from probably 3 miles from the closest ranch. But anyway, the Shadbolt had some hired help that had a couple kids that was going to school there, and it was an April, kind of an April snowstorm when they left from home, and then anyway, they got part way to school, and one of them got real cold and decided he was going to go back home or something, and the other one headed on for school, but I guess he made it to school, but the other one didn't, so the neighbors got together. I know Bob Yeager was horseback. Anyway, they found this little kid in the fence line, froze to death.
Oh, no, I've never heard that story.
Another incident that was pretty scary and sad is when my daughter and son-in-law's house burnt down.
Yes.
At 2 o'clock in the morning. And you don't have any fire trucks watered up that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was grace of God that they all got out alive, because it was, they lost everything they owned. Pretty scary night then. When your daughter comes up here at 2 o'clock in the morning and hollers, our house is on fire, well, that, you wonder what needs to be done.
Thank you for listening to part one of the Rex Adamson and Family interview for Sandhill Stories. We heard some highs and lows of ranching in the sandhills of Cherry County through the last five generations. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Tune in next Friday at 10:15 to hear the rest of the story.
Once again, this is Dean from Tarani Motors. We hope you enjoyed today's edition of Sandhill Stories. I invite you to stop by Tarani Motors for your next service or your next vehicle. Tune in again next week for the next edition of Sandhill Stories.